flip that one out right over there, Brother Robert. Thank him. I'll give him just them there. Now I want to show you a little chart to show, just in case some of you don't know, where we are on God's calendar. Where we are on God's calendar. Now I wish I could take a little while this morning and explain all this to you, but we won't have time to go into detail. And I wish you'd listen and pay attention as I try to show you where we are on God's calendar. Now, I don't know if you know how to read a map, but the Bible... Something's wrong, Brother Roy. Could you turn me up just a hair and get some of the low off of it, please? The Bible is God's road map. The Bible is God's road map. Now, if you... Thank you. If you've never learned how to read a map, say a map of the United States or an atlas, then you don't know where you are. You got to get the thing right. You have to turn it right. If you've got a map of the United States and it's upside down... Or if you don't know how to read a map, you'll say, there's Marion right up Highway 90. And somehow say, hey man, Marion ain't on Highway 90, it's on Highway 70. And you'd say, no it ain't, look at that. You may be looking at Marion, South Carolina. You may be looking at Marion, Virginia. You may be looking at Marion, Ohio. That's why there's so many different denominations. The reason there's so many different denominations is people take the Bible and they say, well, look at that, the Bible says this, look at that, the Bible says that. But then you got Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Assembly of God, Apostolic, Fire Baptized, Church of God in Jesus' name, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Disadvantages, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all the stuff. And everybody's got the same map. Somebody ain't reading it right, though. There's a bunch of different Marians. You've got to hold your map straight. You've got to read it right. You've got to know where you are to find out how to get to where you're going. What if I said, I'm going to tell you how to get to Nebo. You go out here and get on Highway 70 and go which way? Somebody tell me. East. Highway 70, east. Everybody in here, when I say go, point to me which way the sun comes up. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. It's that way. That way is east. That street right out there runs east to west. The sun comes up over there. It goes down over there. That's west. Now, if you're looking at a map, you'd stand just like this. There's east, there's west. There's Florida. There's Michigan. That way's Atlantic Ocean. That way's Los Angeles. Now, somebody point, where's New York? Point to New York. Good, good, good. All right? Somebody, point Texas. Show me the way Texas is. It's that way, right? Amen. It's southwest. That way's Texas. That way's Atlantic Coast. You know how you know that? Because you know where you're at on the map. And you could get a globe and pinpoint right where we sat this morning. Listen to me now, please. No talking. I'm telling you this morning, you've got to find out where you are. Now listen. If I had a big picture this morning, right there where that T is, I'd have an Old Testament. And then I'd have Jesus dying on the cross. And then I have almost 2,000 years here to where this picture starts right here, and I could point you out there where we are. We're not in the Old Testament. We're not in B.C. We're not in the book of Acts. We are right there where that says 89. We are right before the rapture of the church. At the rapture of the church, there's going to be a man take over the world from there to there. And that's a 7-year period of time called the tribulation. And it's split into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. And there's the mark of the beast. 666. That will be the mark that will be required of you if you're still here to do all your buying and selling. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I wouldn't doubt it that there is not people in this room this morning that will one day have that mark on your hand. You know why? Because you will not come to Jesus and be saved. You will not come to the Lord. You keep saying no. You keep saying no. You keep putting it off. And one of these days they're going to stick that mark right there on your hand. I showed them in Sunday school how this got started, and it was the summer of 1969. I believe the world hit high gear hell in 1969. 4 major signs of the coming of the Lord you see on this magazine. Number one, that's Janis Joplin up there at Woodstock, the world's first rock concert, 1969. Beside her is old Ted, and I ain't going to mess with him right now, and I ain't got time, at Chappaquiddick. And beside him is Charles Manson and the murders of Sharon Tate and the other actresses out there in Beverly Hills and him claiming to be Jesus and all of that. And then right beside him are the homosexuals revolting on Christopher Street. They call it Stonewall in New York City, and there's where the homosexual revolution began. It began in New York City in the summer of 1969. And down here is Neil Armstrong, that guy, whoever, whatever the fellow's name was, stepping their first step on the moon, summer of 1969. Oh, by the way, you know what else happened that year, don't you? The Satanic Bible was printed. And they don't tell you that on Newsweek magazine. They carefully avoid the spiritual implications. But as I did in Sunday school, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to bring you this brief message this morning on the age of Antichrist. Let me let you hear where we've went from 1969 to 1989. This is the first rock concert, Woodstock. Now listen to how far we've gone. We've gone from Yellow Submarine to quoting and chanting to little kids, "I'm not saved." Listen to what they're teaching kids now in rock and roll. They're teaching them to chant over and over and over, "I'm not saved, I'm not saved, not saved." Listen to it real careful now. You'll hear them chant it, "I'm not saved. And they're teaching the kids to say it. And they're saying, "God is dead." Listen to the words of this song. It sounds like some kind of monster. I started to say singing, but it ain't singing. And he's saying, "God is dead. God is dead. Is dead. God is dead." The devil has taken your spirit. That's what he's doing. What he's doing in the average church. God is dead. You say, "That give me the creep, preacher." But I tell you what, we're living in a day that is seeing them. Let me show you something right quick. What they're doing. There's the murders. There's the Manson girls. There's Woodstock. There's the flower children that stood under the rain for 3 days. There they are. There they are. There they are. There's the homosexual revolution. There's a flower girl. There they are in the mud. There they are in their filth. What's happened in these last 20 years? There's where we are now. It's turned our major cities into war zones. See that little girl? That's the front of a rock and roll album. It's called Devil's Meat. That's what's happened in the last 20 years. They've degenerated into the place where kids are being used for animal, like animals for sacrifices unto the devil. Cannibalism. That's the front of an album sold in rock music stores. See a body out of the casket and eating the guts. That's where we're headed. We're in the age of Antichrist. Okay, Brother John, if you'll get the lights now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want to show you something there. In 1 John chapter number 2. I believe it's in 1 John chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 18. And I want to show you where we are now. Now the way to know where you're going is to find out where you are. Now the Lord willing, for you that have never Then in it, I'll be doing the whole Sunday morning service, the Lord will, on Youth Day on the 19th of November. And we're going to be dealing with this stuff, especially what's going on in rock and roll. That'll be 3 weeks from this morning. But let's look this morning at 1 John chapter number 2. And I want to show you verse number, I believe it is, number 18. Little children. That's what he called his people in the book of 1 John. Little children, verse 18. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist, singular, that's just like Christ, Antichrist, that is one man. The Antichrist is one man that ain't come yet. Ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, future. Even now are there many Antichrists. He's saying, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and he is. He's called the son of perdition, the god of this world in the Bible, or the devil in the flesh. Even now there are many Antichrists already in the world. Anything that's against Christ is Antichrist. It's like if you don't want your car to freeze, you put antifreeze in your car. It stops it from freezing. So you got Christ over here, you have Antichrist over here. Christ is God's son, Antichrist is the devil's son. Christ is God in the flesh, Antichrist is the devil in the flesh. He's opposite from Christ, and he is coming to take over the world. He's coming. Just as soon as the Lord comes. Now I'll tell you something, buddy. The Lord is coming. He said that he was coming, and he is coming. Look at verse 28 of that same chapter. And now, little children, abide in him. Hallelujah. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Thank God this morning we have the hope that if Jesus come back today, we would go and rise to be him. That's a purifying hope. That's a blessed hope. That's a sanctifying hope. That's a wonderful hope today, to know that we're not going to be here when that time comes like the world has never seen nor ever will be again. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I'm just an old country boy saved by grace. And I want to say, even if there wasn't a hell, even if there wasn't a hell, hear me, even if there was no hell, I'd still be shouting happy. I'm saved just to miss that terrible time called the Great Tribulation. Boy, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, what an opportunity you're passing by if you don't come to Jesus this morning. What a privilege you have to get down on your knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a great chance you have to be able to go to the Lord. I want to say a couple of things right here this morning. Where are we? The way to know where you are is look at a clock, calendar, or a map. And the average person nowadays can't read either one. The Bible is a clock, it's a calendar, and a map. I ain't crazy over clocks. I like to look at clocks, but I ain't crazy over clocks as I am maps and calendars. I love maps and calendars. You can ask Terry. Sometimes I'll just get my map out and just look at it and look at it. I love to see how it is from one place to another place. I know that may seem crazy to y'all, but for years I have been just fascinated by maps. I love to look at. Before we went to Germany, I looked down and I said, now we'll fly this way and how we'd go over the water. And of course we didn't that way. I thought we'd just go straight across it. We went way up toward the North Pole somewhere and cut around that way. That way to route those jets out. But I've always loved maps. And I love calendars. I have right here with me my 89 calendar. And you can't read much of it because all the stuff I've got wrote in it. And there is October, where we are right now. Now, I can't read that calendar right unless I turn it to October. There's where I've been this summer. There's September. There's August. There is July. And that calendar tells me what day it is. It tells me where I've been, where I'm supposed to be tomorrow. That calendar is very, very, very important. And the Bible this morning is all of that. It is a calendar. It's a clock. It is a map. It's God's clock that He's given us. It's God's calendar where we can know where we are. You know how I know where? Listen, without the Word of God, we wouldn't know where we is at in human history. Can you imagine if we didn't have no Bible? I'm where we are. I know we're not in the Old Testament. I know we're not in the tribulation. And we sure ain't in the millennium.
fellow said one time, he said, Jesus is reigning right now. And the devil is back.
And the old
preacher said, well, if the devil bound now, he sure do have a long chain. But he ain't bound now. The devil is loose. If you think the devil is bound, you need to have your head looked at. But he's running rampant, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Not bound, buddy. He is loose as he's ever been. He's on the rampage big time. But where are we on God's calendar? We are in the last days. Days. They call it the age of Aquarius. There's been more changes in human history in the last 30 years than there was the last 2,000 before that. Think about it. The first jet airline passenger plane was not lifted till 1958. Today's people don't think it's nothing. Go over here, Asheville, and hop a jet, you know, take off to Florida or somewhere. They didn't do that until 1958. They're flying around in jet bombers and private planes and stuff, but commercial jet airline passenger plane, 1958. In 1963, the Lord's Prayer, Bible study, prayer was kicked out of our public schools. And our Supreme Court voted June 17, 1963, we no longer need God in our kids' school and in our educational system. And today, it is against the law of America to put up a copy of the Ten Commandments in a public school. All that's happened in the last 30 years. Who would have ever thought that people could have took a man and cut his body open after he died and took his heart out and put it in another man and that man lived? Who would have ever thought that you could be in New York for breakfast, Los Angeles for lunch, and Miami for supper? Who would have ever thought that they would have invented little chips called microcomputer chips about the size of a dime that they can slice your skin and stick that computer chip up under your skin, sew it up, and if you're on probation, they can keep track of everywhere you go for a year or two, well, as long as you're on probation. Who would have thought that? Who would have ever thought they'd be able to do what they're doing this morning? Where are we? We are right before the time of rapture of the church of Jesus. May that all encourage us. That'll thrill us. That'll excite us. When that choir was singing a while ago, triumphantly the church will rise. Buddy, no truer words have ever been sung. It will rise. The church ain't what it ought to be. We have faults. We've failed and come short of the glory of God. But we're still God's church. And we're going out of here one of these days when that trumpet comes. Blow. All right, let me ask you this. Who is the world seeking? You know what the world's looking for this morning? They're looking for a leader. World dictators now admit that we need a ruler. Germany was bankrupt in 1923. And the German mark went to an all-time low. They were just about to put them in the trash. And about that time, an old boy stepped out there and said, I'll take care of this. And his name was Adolf Hitler. And the Germans said, if you can straighten this mess out, people will follow anybody that can put them to work and put food on their table and clothes on their back. And of course, Hitler, the madman controlled by the devil, made the awfulest mess ever was and nearly destroyed his country. But Hitler didn't have satellite TV. And Hitler didn't have the mass communication that we have now. Who's the world seeking? They are seeking a ruler. That's why Reader's Digest put out a thing about 3 or 4 years ago of Lord Maitreya. And Lord Maitreya was going to make his appearance on the scene and rule the world. You are hearing constantly nowadays, world ruler, world dictator, United States of Europe. All you hear them talking secular magazine nowadays. Get all the countries together. That's why you see this stuff about Russia wanting to do this and China wanting to become a democracy. This happening and that happening. You know what the devil's doing? The devil's just trying to get everybody together and get everybody together and get everybody together. And when he gets them all together just right, there's going to be a 10 federated kingdom, as a lot of preachers believe it'll be the common market. There's 12 nations in the common market right now. And I heard Jack Van Impe say just the other day that he was looking for Austria. I believe Austria has applied now to become one of the 10 or the It'll be the 13th nation. And the Old Testament said when that king stepped up there, he'd strike three of them.
And Jack Van Impe said, if Austria joins, look up. He said, that'll make 13. And when the Antichrist comes, he gets rid of three, making him 10.
The world is looking. They have made the statement in a national publication that went worldwide nearly. They said, send us a man.
We're tired of leaders. We're tired of committees. We're tired of plans and governments. They said, send us a man that can straighten out our problems. And they said this, quote, be he God or devil, him we will receive.
And the Lord said that. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name. You receive me not. If another shall come in his own,
him you will receive. That's the Antichrist. What is his mark? Did you know we are fast losing our identity as human beings nowadays? We're numbers, man. We ain't nothing but statistics.
The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. You don't even have a name no more. You're a number. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches. But you're not that anymore. You're a number.
Business Week magazine.
I saw one this summer. I would have brought it and showed it to you. Wish I could have made a slide of it. It said the smart cards are ready. And they're experimenting with what they call smart cards. And everybody does business by these smart cards. Let me ask you something. How many of you people in here have been contacted by your bank or you got a letter or a phone call or something and they tried to get you to use what they call direct deposit, where you don't get your check. They deposit it immediately in the bank for you and you write checks off of it. Raise your hand. Now look at that. We're just in a little old hick town here in the middle of nowhere. You know what that is? That's saying we are getting ready for a cashless society. And as soon as we can get rid of cash, we can stop crack being sold on the streets. They'll say, we have the answer to our drug problem. All you got to do is get rid of money. The way to stop drugs from being sold on the street, get rid of money and make everybody do business through the government by computer. And force the guys off the street. The only way they can do it then would be traded for other items or prostitution. But you'd knock about 90% of the drug trade ahead by doing that. And you see how the Antichrist will come and say, listen, I'm going to straighten out the world's problems. I'm going to do this. You say, well, Brother Danny, people won't believe it. Yes, they will. Because when the church leaves, the Holy Ghost leaves. And when the Holy Ghost leaves, that spirit of conviction is on like we have it here this morning. And the Bible said God will send them strong delusion. We are living in those days, friend. We're living in those days.
People said years ago, they said, when preachers preached, that two witnesses would be laying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days and they'd die dead and the whole world would see them. People laughed at them. They thought they were crazy. You don't hear nobody laughing nowadays.
They're after a mark. You know what's happening now?
Since 1940,
listen to this,
the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power.
Now, if those statistics are right, and I don't know that they are, that means it takes a dollar in 1989 to buy what you could buy for a nickel in 1940. People say, well, I'm a millionaire. That don't mean much nowadays. Now, if you was a millionaire in 1930, you had some money. $1 million don't long way nowadays. If you had to pay for it, you couldn't build two of these buildings right here for $1 million. If you had to pay for everything to be done, we've done a lot of work ourselves. $1 million ain't much nowadays. You say, boy, I've got $30,000 laid up, and boy, I'm going to be taken care of. You can go through $10,000 by the end of this week.
Not even hardly know where it went nowadays.
It just don't go nowhere no more. Listen to this. People say, well, the government, you know, the average person nowadays has got the idea that no matter what happens, the government will bail us out. Let me tell you something, brother. The state ain't got nothing to what they took from us. Everything the government has, you know where they got it from us. They can't give to the people what they don't first take from the people. Got to take it from them first so they can have something to give. And if people ain't got nothing to give, they ain't going to have nothing to give you.
It took from George Washington to Jimmy Carter 188 years
for the president to spend $1 billion a day. It took from George Washington to Jimmy Carter for the president's, the firm, the administration, $1 billion a day. It took 5 years from Carter to Ronald Reagan for him to spend $2 billion. It took 188 years to get to $1 billion. It took five to get to $2 billion. The interest on our national debt right now is $120,000 a minute. We can't even pay the interest on the debt we're in.
The economy collapses. Drugs are bad. Abortion. Murder. Rape. Robbery. And about that time, there'll be a trumpet. We'll go out. The world will be in more confusion than it's ever been before. And a Savior will emerge.
But he's the wrong Savior. That's the age we're living in. In Sweden, I'll give you this, I'm going to hurry along. They have already experimented in Sweden, in which 6,000 people have voluntarily taken a mark to do their business transactions with. Already, as an experiment. You young people here this morning, you ain't going to be able to grow up like your mom and daddy. You're living in a different age. You're living in a different world. Everywhere I go, I meet church people say, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm just sick with the way churches are nowadays. Things ain't like they used to." Buddy, you better believe they ain't. We're living in a different world. And we might as well get our head out of the sand and say that we can face this thing. God's still God. The book's still true. But we're living in a wicked day. We're living in a day when all the stops are being pulled out. We're living in a day when it seems like just everything's going haywire. We're living in a day just before the coming of the Lord. Are you having a hard time keeping your head straight? It's a day we're living in.
You having a hard time staying right with God?
It's a day we're living in. Now, there's never been pressure and demons unleashed on us like they are nowadays. I've been preaching nearly 16 years. I've never seen the pressure and demons and power and wickedness going on like it is now. It's a scary time. They have what they call the New Age movement. To quote the New York Times, quote, "We will build a new world." They even have what they call holographic images, in which a satellite can project light rays and bend them in the sky and make an image of a man in the sky and make it look back down on us and talk. And 1/3 of the population of the world can hear it. The Bible said in the tribulation that the Antichrist would make an image. They'd make an image of the beast, that the image should speak, cause as many as would not worship the beast to be killed.
Can you imagine? During the Great Tribulation, with strong delusion on them, how people would believe it if they saw a big giant man's face in the sky talking to us and giving us instruction? What if they could have done that during that earthquake out there in San Francisco and appeared in the sky and said, "Now do this, do that. There's 14 people over here dead. There's this over here." And then, why, you don't think they'd worship somebody like that?
Yes, sir.
You know what they're saying nowadays? Quote, "The Aquarian gospel of Jesus Christ, enter fully into the spirit of the God of forces." A famous movie not long ago, slogan was, "May the force be with you."
You know what that is? That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Because the Bible said in the book of Daniel about the God of forces. Let me say, I'm not going to tonight we'll go in detail of the religion. Let me say in closing this morning, what should you do? In 1500 B.C., Pharaoh was going to kill every boy, baby, born to Hebrews. And there's a woman had a little bee named Moses, and he was such a sweet little thing, and she took him down there and put him in the river. God made a way. God made a way.
One day there's a man after King David named Saul. And he was out to kill him, and he threw the javelin at him. He'd done everything he could to kill that boy. God made a way. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, God always makes a way for His children. He always, when it seems like all hope is gone, and it seems like there's no way out, and it's like there's nothing to live for, and it seems like everything is lost, and it seems like you're about ready to despair and give up hope,
God will make a way. He'll make a way.
David said, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings."
David said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his
pavilion. There's that verse on the rapture. The Lord's got a pavilion up there. And in that time of trouble, he's going to hide us in it. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm here this morning and I'm not even saved. What should I do? You better get saved as fast as you can. Because you're living in the last days.
You may be here and you're a Christian and you're letting the devil, you're letting the world, you're letting the flesh keep you from serving
God like you should serve Him. You ought to get on this altar this morning and say, God, I know my time running out. Help me. Help me. I've only scratched the surface of what's going on in this old world. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If there's ever been a time when we need to be a-praying, it's now. That's the age we're living in. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. I feel like probably there's somebody here this morning say, preacher, when you was talking about how close we are to the end, it scares me and it bothers me because I'm not living right. And I want to tell you something, friend. God is merciful. He'll give a man or a woman so much time, and then after that, it's over. And I believe some of you are here this morning because God is dealing with your heart. And I believe some of you are here this morning because you want to do right and to be right. And some of you need to make a trip to an old-fashioned altar. Just get down on your face before God and say, oh dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heart right this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know we're living in the last days. God, we know we're living in wicked, perilous times. We know that you said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Have mercy on us, this Lord. Help that one of those who needs to come to this altar to step out of that pew where they stand this morning and come to Jesus while they have time. In His name we ask it. Amen. We already have some coming this morning. If God's a dealer heart and you need to come to this altar and you need to get something right while we sing the first verse as I am without one plea, just get out of your seat and come right now. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Just as I am without one
plea. That's right.
Plea,
amen. Come on.
But that thy blood.
Amen.
Was shed.
This morning, friend. You know, one of these days it'll be too late. Thank God. Thank God. Others need to come.
See all that's going on around us, it'd shake us, it would wake us up. The devil just kind of lulls you to sleep every Sunday, you know. You just kind of get in a habit or in a form. Boy, we need to come this morning. Why don't we sing another verse? Is God dealing with you? Is God speaking to your heart? Settle it, settle it. Don't wait. There's no use putting it off. Now's the time to do it. Why don't we sing? Won't you come?
Go ahead, Brother John.
Just
amen. Amen. Come on this morning. Just get out of your seat and come.
Thou wilt receive.
Amen.
Wilt
thank God. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Cleanse, relief.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Because thou promised I believe.
Oh, Lamb of God.
Of God I come.
One more verse if you're not ready to meet Jesus.
you bow your heads with me just a second again while they play softly? Can I ask you a question this morning? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder if it'd be somebody here to say, "Preacher, I know we're running out of time. I know the Lord's coming soon. And it bothers me, but I'm still not ready. I'm not ready to meet Jesus. But I believe in you folks here, and I got confidence in your prayers. And I want this church to pray for me. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be ready when the Lord comes. Please pray for me." I wonder if you just raise your hand right now. Let us pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Is there another? Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Thank God. You ladies. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to come to you. We're just going to pray for you. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Amen. Anyone else right quick? God bless you, sir. Appreciate that. Anyone else? We're just going to pray. All right. I see your hand, ma'am. God bless you, brother. 7 or 8, 9 hands have gone up here this morning. Now, friend, you're going to have to face God one of these days. And the devil ain't got nothing worth going to hell for. The devil don't have nothing worth ruining your life for. The devil don't have it. It ain't out there. He's a liar. He is a liar. Please, don't let it happen. Come to Jesus while you still got a chance. Dear Lord, I pray for these that lifted their hand. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd move on them, that you'd bless them, and that you'd work the situation or circumstances in their life, Lord, that they could come to you. Please, please do it for Jesus' sake. We'll praise you and thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We still have some...